Well, hey, good morning, Ledge Rock, friends, family, and followers of Jesus here in Ely, Minnesota, and scattered all across the country. Good morning. Good to see you. Glad that you can join me and us together here in this very unique digital way of gathering and sharing in God's Word. Hopefully through the coming on early and the staying through at the end, that you guys are feeling connected, perhaps more connected than you have in some time. I'm thankful for the technology we have and the ability to do it this way. It certainly doesn't make up for us getting together. Man, I, as well as all your leadership, everybody that I talk with, we all greatly miss. We miss you. We miss getting together with you. We miss worshiping together. Wow. So hopefully this is winding down. We're ahead of the curve, and we can look at getting back together sooner rather than later, but we just simply don't know. So either way, thank you for your faithfulness, for your encouragement through this time. Thank you for your patience through this time. It is hard on everybody. Very difficult. So just again, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us here this morning. What a glorious day. What an amazing weekend God has given us. The rumors are true. Your search committee told me that the snow would eventually melt and that the ice would go out on the lakes and that I would be able to go out and paddle my canoe. And I was doubting that for a while. I was starting to really question. In fact, I was sending out resumes everywhere throughout the South, but looks like we may actually see all the snow will melt and the ice maybe will go out, that the rumors are true, and I'll be able to go paddle and then I'll stay here. So looks like everything is true. wonderful to see these warm temps and whatever. It just lifts our spirits. I got to go hike the Bass Lake Trail yesterday with this beautiful young woman named Teresa, and we had a glorious time. The sun shone on our skin, vitamin D boost, soul lifted, just wonderful. So if you're not here in Ely, you need to come and visit as soon as it's safe for everybody to do so, because this is absolutely beautiful, absolutely amazing. Speaking of Ely and how amazing this community is, one of the great treasures, the great gems here in Ely, besides the Boundary Waters, of course, and all the trails and the fishing and everything, is our Young Life program. We have Ely Young Life. It's one of the best programs in the state, and I'm thankful that we have so many of you participating, helping to lead and just involved in Young Life. And starting tonight at 6 o'clock will be the annual Sweet Spring Auction, which is one of Young Life's primary fundraisers for the whole year. And because we all can't get together, it's going to look a little different this year. So it's going to be an online auction running again from 6 o'clock tonight through 6 o'clock next Sunday. However, pay attention to the items that you might be interested in, because they're going to tier them off starting at like 2. So some of the items will end at 2, between 2 and 6. Go to ely.younglife.org. And go to the website. You'll get more information there. You'll be able to log in and register and get set up for the auction and all the information that you need. If you have more questions, contact any of the Young Life leaders here at Ledge Rock. If you have access to our directory, feel free to contact Jen Stauffer. She can help you get taken care of. And whatever it is you need. And there are even proxy bidders available. So if you live somewhere and can't do it or whatever, you can have things taken care of. And I'm going to take it a step further, just because I believe in this this ministry. I believe in raising funds for them. I am going to volunteer Greg Dannenbring and Mike Sibley to mow the yard for anybody that buys any item through this auction. So feel free to bid away and then look forward to these guys coming out and mowing your grass for you. I'm volunteering them, so we'll see how that actually works out. But either way, it is just neat to be a part of such a loving, generous, faith filled family like you guys here at Ledge Rock. So I'm blessed and overjoyed to be able to be your pastor and lead you through this time. Heard lots of great encouraging words last week from the message about remembering, and I heard some of you even dared to go ahead and eat lunch, and you did and still remembered, and so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for some of the encouraging words I heard about families stepping up their game in discussing who God is and the great things that He has done, and just sharing and encouraging each other. So it's been fun. Thank you for reaching out to me during the week. It really helps me. I heard an amazing story from somebody that recently gave their life to Jesus. I think they live in New York, and because of this COVID and everybody shutting down and going live, they are able to join us here at Ledge Rock in Ely, Minnesota, from all over the country because of this technology and because of this situation. So I'm just thankful for you joining us. I'm thankful for how God is moving and working in the hearts of people, even during scary times like these, this global pandemic that we're facing. So either way, again, just thank you for, you know, for all that you do and are doing and continue doing. And I look forward to how God is going to use this to reach more people for Him and for His kingdom. So anyway, one of the things I guess I've shared over the last months as we've been together is I love to eat. There's not much that I don't like to eat. And so consequently, throughout at least most of my adult life, I have struggled to some degree or another to live a healthy lifestyle. There are seasons where I maybe focus on food a little too much and maybe not enough on exercise, and consequently become quite unhealthy. And there have been moments where the Lord has really convicted me, and I've been great at eating healthy and exercising and seen some incredible results. In fact, as I stand before you, I'm almost 70 pounds below my largest I ever was, which was terrible and horrible. But praise be to God, He convicted me and changed my attitude. And anyway, point is, both Teresa and I have gone through struggles with our weight and our health throughout our married lives. We've seen good times and we've seen bad times. And one of the things that her and I both, we talk about all the time, is when we make a tough decision, you know, when we turn down a bowl of ice cream or say no to a scone, which, by the way, may be the hardest temptation ever. I mean, I have never met a scone that I didn't just adore. There is something about that thick, heavy pastry that's full of deliciousness. That the point is, if I dared be strong enough to turn one of those things down, like the next morning you want to get on the scale and see 5 pounds lost simply because you said no to something. I mean, you made a good decision and turned it down. The point is, sometimes results are hard to come by. We want to see them and they don't come as easily as we wish they would. And so I noticed in cooking barbecue, when I began cooking barbecue, I would make a dish, a brisket, that would turn out fantastic. And I'd be really happy. And then I would try to repeat that and maybe miss it a little bit. Wouldn't be quite as good, or miss an ingredient or a step. And what I realized was that I needed a recipe. I needed a recipe to follow to get consistent results. And all of us, when we take steps in our lives, whether it's to repent of some sin or get closer to the Lord, when we make healthy decisions to turn away from food or step up our exercise game, we want to see results. And one of the best ways to see consistent results is to follow a recipe. And so today we're going to be in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. And you're going to discover with me a biblical recipe for all of us to see some results, some spiritual growth results, some godly, spirit-filled, joyful results in our lives. So today, again, we're in the book of Philippians, and this is a book that's near and dear to my heart. It was the first book that I preached all the way through in a sermon series. And so it was early on in my ministry, and it just really spoke volumes to me, taught me a lot of things. And the city of Philippi was a Roman outpost way in the outskirts. It was in Macedonia, and the Apostle Paul had planted a church there, and it was a church that Paul was very glad for. The book is filled with joy and thanksgiving from the Apostle Paul to the believers there in Philippi because of their support for him. Paul wrote this from prison, so he was in a difficult situation, yet they cared for him, they supported him, they sent Epaphras to him to just encourage him. And so Paul was very thankful, and he wrote this letter to encourage them to continue in their faith, no matter the persecution or the problems that they might face. So there's a quick setting of the book of Philippians and where we're at here today. So let me read to you from, again, Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4, and we're going to jump right into the middle of a thought, but I'll explain it more later. So verse 4, the God's word begins and says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Join me in prayer, please. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and thank you for you, for your presence with us, for the gift of Jesus, for the work he did on the cross, and the fact that he was buried because he was absolutely dead, but resurrected back to life. We praise and thank you for the redemption we have through Jesus. And I thank you for the word that you've given to me, this message. And I pray you take your word, your truth, and preach it through me this morning, boldly and clearly. Father, open up all of our hearts and minds to better understand you and what you've done and how it is that we can serve you. So, Lord, have your way with us this day. Be glorified this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the point to today's message is that everyone can see results if we follow a biblical recipe to see those results. So the first ingredient in our recipe to see some awesome results is covered back in verse 4. So look at verse 4 if you have a copy of God's word. Verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Now, I'm going to be just honest with you for a minute. Does anybody kind of get tired of hearing that phrase, rejoice, rejoice always, always, always rejoice? I mean, we try to teach our kids at home, we don't say the word hate. It's a strong word, and so we encourage not to even use it. But do you ever like find yourself kind of hating those words, like rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always? It can be aggravating and annoying. They even wrote a song about it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It's difficult. It can be super annoying to have someone tell you to rejoice when there are legitimate problems going on in your life or in my life. And I'm supposed to rejoice in that. I mean, did you know that I lost my job, or I am laid off for 4 months? Did you know that this whole shutdown thing across the globe has dropped my stock portfolio by 30%, and I'm supposed to rejoice in that? Did you know that I lost my sister recently? I'm just making these up. I didn't. Thankfully, but the point is, there's problems all over. We lose loved ones. There's pain and sickness and problems. My truck is broke down. I need new tires. There's way too much month left at the end of my bank account. And in the midst of that, we're supposed to rejoice? We're supposed to rejoice always? That can be tough. It can be very tough to hear. In fact, I've seen people get upset when a believer tells them, oh, just read your Bible and pray and rejoice, when they've got real problems, real difficulties. But look at what the scripture says. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And what the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking to believers that are in the midst of Roman occupation. There is persecution going on. Paul himself is in prison for proclaiming the gospel. And he's reminding the church, you and I, that we can rejoice despite our circumstances, despite the pain and problems all around us, despite our anxiety and fear and the uncertainty, despite that, you and I can rejoice because it's not in our situation, but it's in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. So what about you? If you're here watching with us today, you're joining in online wherever you may be, and this is you. I mean, you are watching, and really deep down in your life, there is way more uncertainty than there is stability. What if this is you and there is more pain than there is joy? How are you to respond during this time? Well, that's a great question. That's where the rubber meets the road. And so let me first of all tell you that it's not necessarily easy, but it is very much possible. And so, kind of like I spoke last week, as we seek to remember God and who He is and what He's done for us, that we think about those things. We think about God and what He's done, even if He hasn't yet done it in your own life. You dwell on those things. You think about those things. And then together with others, you discuss what God has done. And then you prayerfully consider what He may do yet to come. And the point is, when you and I, in the midst of chaos around us, look at Jesus and what He has done for us, because the truth is, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus is exactly who He said He was, and He went to the cross for our sins. And if you and I turn from them, repent, and give our lives by faith to Jesus, He has promised us that He will change us from the inside out. His resurrection has signed, sealed, and delivered us from sin and death forever. And no matter what you're facing, you can find joy in God. You can find joy in Jesus because of who He is, not because of your current situation. So the first ingredient in the recipe for you and I to find some biblical good results is that we need to rejoice in the Lord always. Always rejoicing, not because of our situation, although some of us may be falling on good times and have cause for joy, but that comes and goes. We can rejoice in the Lord always. The second ingredient that we add into this recipe for us to have some results is the next verse 5. The scripture says, let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Now, I'm reading from the CSB, Kurt's Special Bible, or Christian Standard Bible. So if you want to follow along, get YouVersion on your tablet or phone or computer. Get YouVersion, and then you can just simply pull up the CSB. I tell Caleb it's Caleb's Special Bible. I like that CSB. It's just a good middle of the road, easy to understand. But the point is, there's lots of translations out there, and some are thought for thought. Others are word for word. So that's why there's so many different translations. But I looked up a couple different common translations, and the NLT says, let your being considerate to others, instead of let your graciousness. The ESV, which is one of the most popular for studying, a very close word for word translation, difficult to read at times, but good for study. The ESV says, let your reasonableness be known to others. The New King James, one that spoke to me for years and years, I used to preach from it for a long time, says, let your gentleness be known to other people. The point is, let the fruit of the Holy Spirit dwell in you, and let others see that fruit in you. If you go back a couple of verses, go back to verse 2, we jumped into the middle of a thought here this morning, and there's a lot going on. But if you look back at verse 2, well, let me read 2 and 3. Paul says, I urge Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I also ask you, true partner, to help those women who have contended for the gospel at my side, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. The point is that in the midst of problems and disagreements, Paul says that we're to rejoice in the Lord in the midst of arguing, and we don't know what the conflict was, but in the midst of conflict within the church, that we are to let our graciousness be known to others. And so that's quite a challenge for us. I know you find it very hard to believe that a couple of women leaders in the church might not agree on something, and that there could be some sort of quarrel or whatever big enough that Paul knew about it in prison. And he's writing to them to encourage them in the church to be unified together, to have joy and graciousness in their lives. And you know what? All of us can learn from that. If we want to have biblical, good, godly results in our lives, one of the main ingredients is to live graciously to others, to exhibit grace and gentleness, being considerate to others. Reasonableness, the ESV said. Living that way, imagine if we put others' needs ahead of our own and we lived that way, the unity and joy that would bring into the church and into our own lives. But why should we live that way and do that way? The scripture says, well, let me read, let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. One of the things I heard about living in Ely with kids is that town folk look out for each other, and they look out for each other's kids. And if someone sees our kids misbehaving or doing something wrong, that it's not uncommon for them to come to the parents and say, hey, I saw a little junior doing this or that or whatever, even like correcting kids or whatever. And you know what? I'm all in favor of that. That's wonderful. A community pulling together to raise and help each other through the challenges of being a parent. And so it's just a good situation. Sometimes we teach our kids about the eyes that parents get in the back of our heads when we become parents, and it's amazing how well those eyes work at times. And so the idea that mother or father is always watching at least motivates kids for a while. And so in this case, Paul's reminding us that Jesus is near, whether he means he's returning soon, which he is, or whether it means because he's indwelling believers that he's like, you know, he's literally with them, or that he is omnipresent. He is watching them from where. The point is, Jesus is near, and that should motivate you and I to live a life not only joyful, rejoicing in Jesus, but also living graciously and reasonable with each other. So that's the second ingredient. The next ingredient that you and I need to add to the recipe that brings some cool results is verse 6. It says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You and I are told over and over and over again not to worry. We are told and reminded, do not fear, do not worry, over and over again all throughout Scripture, lots and lots of times. Jesus, in his amazing address to the early, before they even were believers, to the Jewish people, called the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached, where Jesus preached and spoke about the kingdom of God. and how he was the fulfillment of all of Scripture, and that he was changing everything, accomplishing the law, all the cool stuff. Jesus said, don't worry about anything. Don't even worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to lay down. Don't worry about all of that, because God that created everything knows you and knew you. And if he cares about little sparrows, he cares about you so much more. So the point is that you and I are called and challenged over and over not to worry. Why should born-again believers not worry and not exhibit fear? And believe me, I hear from a lot of you lots of times about the fear that you have, the worry. I see it in people all the time. And so this is, if you feel like you're full of stress and anxiety and fear and worry, you are not alone. It spans throughout all of us. But why should you and I not worry? Because there is absolutely nothing godly in that. There is nothing honoring of the Lord and kingdom advancing in us worrying, being owned and driven by fear and worry. There's nothing good in that. That is an evidence of the flesh, not evidence of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. For us to worry is lacking trust in God. It's lacking trust in God's wisdom, in his sovereignty. For us to live in worry is lacking trust in the power of God. And so how can you and I live a life that is less marked by worry? Well, it says the next part, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition. Have you ever heard the saying, prayerful people are peaceful people? The more time we spend in prayer, the more we turn over these worries and fears to God through prayer, the more peaceful we are in our lives. And that saying is absolutely true. Remember, God created you to have a relationship with. God knew you before you were born. He didn't make a mistake. He created you lovely and amazing and perfect. He created you in a very special way to know him and to have a relationship with you. And so what God wants is to hear your heart's cry. Like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he got alone and went deeper into the garden, overloaded and overburdened with just stress and anxiety, because he knew the wrath of God that he was about to face for all of humanity's sins. He fell down on the ground and he cried out to the Father. But then he lined his will up with the Father's and saying, nevertheless, not what I'm pouring my heart out to, but your will be done. The point is that God wants us to turn to him in prayers and petitions, calling out and crying out our heart's cry, and naming off and listing off those things that we want to see God do and move. There's nothing wrong in that. In fact, it leads to a changed life. Prayerful people are peaceful people. The fervent and effective prayers of born-again believers eventually turns to thanksgiving. The verse says, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The fact is, or the point is, that as we pray to God and live with joy and graciousness, and we lift up our cries and our wants and our fears and our needs to God, that it leads to a heart of thanksgiving because of who God is, not because of where we're at currently, but because of how God has been faithful to fulfill his promises and his word throughout the ages. And that he will continue to do that. He will accomplish that work that he has begun in you. So we mix up these ingredients, these different things into this recipe. And what does it produce? When we mix it in the bowl and we put it in the pan and we stick it in the oven, what does this recipe provide? What are the results that we're looking for and looking at? Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The results that we're looking for are God's peace, this amazing recipe, all these ingredients, the rejoicing, the living gentle and considerate and gracious among people, even in the midst of disagreements, because Jesus is near, not worrying, coming to Him with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving in our hearts that mixed together, it produces peace. We live in an area that is full of peaceful places. In fact, maybe my favorite place on the planet, besides just simply being in the presence of Teresa. Besides that, of course, I mean, obviously, but add Teresa into the mix, then you look at the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. I can't think of a more peaceful place. I mean, after a storm has come through and blown away, and suddenly as the sun is setting, to be at a campsite with a fire crackling and watch that lake turn to glass, to see the pink and orange and red glorious hues of the sun setting, and then cue the loon. Have a loon call and cry out its beautiful, majestic, mournful cry, to sit there in my comfy camp chair and look out at that. I cannot think of a more peaceful setting than that. Think about what brings you peace. What is it that you think of? I want you to take a moment and just think about a peaceful place and a peaceful setting. And as fantastic as that place may be, as amazing and awesome as the Boundary Waters and the setting that I displayed and explained for you, that as glorious and peaceful as that may be, even better is the peace that the Scripture is talking about here. Because it's not a personal peace. It's not a private peace. It's not a man-made peace. But instead, it is the peace of God. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God will come upon us." The result of this amazing recipe produces God's peace in our lives. It's even better than the most peaceful setting any of us could ever imagine if we simply dwell in it, if we simply claim it and own it. And like I preached last week, if we remember it, if we remember God and who He is, this all fits together. Last week was a recipe to remember. This is a recipe to see results. We're going to do a little cookbook of recipes here for a while. Look at a couple more things where we see a recipe for in God's Word. And this is a recipe to see God's peace in our lives. It says, "In the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." We can't even fathom the width and length and depth and breadth and height and just the sheer awesomeness of God's peace. You and I can't even fathom what that's like. As peaceful as the most glorious setting here in Ely is, God's peace far outweighs it, far out surpasses it. Lord, have mercy. I need that peace in my life. We can't even fathom it. Peace of God is produced by the results of this recipe that we've laid out. And the peace of God produces a guarding in our lives, guarding our hearts and our minds. And let me be honest with you. I'm going to be completely transparent. I desperately need that in my life. I need God's peace to guard my heart and my mind. As a pastor and a leader dealing with people and personalities, there are times when I face difficult situations, difficult times, difficult problems, difficult people, difficult meetings. And sometimes it makes my head ache when there is problems and difficulties. It can make my head ache, which then leads to my heart aching. And my heart aching over pain and sin and problems, and the results of that If my heart aches, it leads to my headache. And if my head's aching, it leads to my heart aching. Remember, since I've come here, I have explained over and over the sheer value of our hearts. God does not want our actions. God does not want our giving. God does not want our singing. What God absolutely wants, demands, expects, and deserves is our hearts. Our hearts fully and completely surrendered to and given over to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Remember, he said, the greatest command of all is to love God with all your heart and soul and strength. Because see, when our heart is right, when our heart is given over, when our heart is guarded by the peace of God, it leads to giving and joyful singing and actions that are godly, that are spirit-filled. The point is, when God owns and possesses our center of our being, it pours in and exudes out of the rest of our lives, out of the rest of us. Our heart is so valuable, being the center of everything. And when our heart is right, it leads to our mind being right. When our heart is guarded, our mind can be guarded. And when our mind is guarded by God's peace, it leads to our heart being guarded. Remember, out of our mouths comes the overflow of our hearts, and from our minds, what we see and think goes into our heart and out our mouth. It all fits and works together. And when we do these things, these cool and amazing things, when we follow this recipe, it leads to the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guarding our hearts and our minds. This life that we live in right now, by the way, we are temporary residents. If you have given your life to Jesus and you have been saved and born again, you are a temporary resident here on this earth for a while. And while we are living here, we are going to see the results of sin all around us. While we are here, we're going to see pain and problems. We are going to live with fear and anxiety in our lives. There's going to be trouble and tribulation. There are going to be difficult people and difficult situations in our lives. Jesus didn't promise this life to be easy. He promised us an eternity that is more glorious than we can ever imagine if we, by faith, endure through this difficult age that we live in. Believers are not immune to problems. Jesus said, you will face trouble in this age. And so if you and I simply take and live a joyful life, we rejoice in the Lord always, not in our situation, but in the Lord. In the midst of problems, we can always look at Jesus and what he has done and how he has overcome sin and death for us. And we can find joy no matter what in that. If we live a life of graciousness and gentleness and caring and considerate toward each other, because we're aware that Jesus is coming soon, he's living inside us and he is watching us, and we are to be his presence here on this earth. If we live that way, if we don't worry, and we come to God with our fears, our cares and concerns, our petitions, and we prayerfully pray to him that he will give us a peace that far outweighs any of our understanding. And that peace that he gives will guard our hearts and our minds. And the final words are, in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the key to all of this. Jesus is the answer to every problem out there. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus has changed my life. And if you are watching today and have not ever given your life over to him, asked him to forgive you and to be your Lord as well, then I encourage you to do that. Give control over to him, because he will change you and make you new from the inside out. Will there still be problems? Absolutely. Will there be a way out of and through those problems? Absolutely. He will go with you and be with you always through anything that you face, because he has promised us he will never leave you or forsake you. The point is, today in this passage of Scripture, you and I can see results, those results that we desperately want and need in our lives always, which is the peace of God, if we simply mix together these biblical ingredients, put together this recipe, and then watch what God can do in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we praise and thank you in your holy name because of your majesty and because of how great and wonderful you are. And Lord, it breaks my heart to hear so often all the different difficulties that some of my brothers and sisters are facing here in Ely and all over the world. And Lord, I just pray for each of the needs that are out there. Lord, you know those recent deaths that have happened in people's families. You know the financial burden that's been placed upon them because of the situation we're facing. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you minister to each situation, that you bring healing and recovery, that you bring your peace to each of our hearts and minds, that we can find joy not in our situation, but in Jesus, in the midst of pain and problems. So, Father, I pray that you move among us, be glorified in us and through us. Forgive us for our sins and our weaknesses. And Lord, I just pray, that more and more people, even people watching today, will be changed because of their relationship with Jesus. So, Father, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for what you have done in advance. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So again, as I said before, I miss you. I love you. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for your encouragement. I'm thankful for you taking time to join us today. So please feel free to stay on, to say goodbye. It was neat. Just did my heart good to hear the goodbyes and hellos and Addie and Isabel saying hi to all the kids and whatever. I know you're not alone out there. So feel free to say praise the Lord and amen and goodbye and love you and all those things. Stay connected for a while. And again, know that in the midst of these trying times, your leadership and I, we are desperately searching and prayerfully considering how we can stay connected with you, how you can stay connected with us, how we can make disciples during this challenging time. So know that it's not simply being lost on us and that you and your relationship with Jesus is our top priority. So again, thank you. Don't forget about the auction starting tonight and running all week long. Hopefully that goes well. Look forward to some strong young guys coming out and mowing your yards pretty soon. So either way, just thanks for joining us here at Ledge Rock Community Church. Take care and God bless.